Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Employment Law Year in Review Regional Roundtable series, brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the largest network of labour and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm your host, Chloe Lopesher, Knowledge and Learning Lawyer at Bowmans in South Africa. Each year, we kick off our programme with a special series of Year in Review programmes, broken down by region, and focusing on the most impactful regulations of the past year, as well as forecasting on important topics that will impact employers in the coming year. Today, joining us, we have an ELA member representing South Africa. Joining us on the program is my colleague, Sean Gaffney, Senior Associate at Bowmans in Cape Town. Welcome, Sean. How are you doing?
Hi, Chloe. Well, thank you. Thanks so much for having me today.
So looking back on the past year, what would you say were the most significant legal developments in 2023 that impacted employers?
Thanks, Chloe. So some of the key legal developments that come to mind for me, definitely an increased focus on employment equity compliance. So amendments to our Employment Equity Act have been passed into law, and they're actually anticipated to come into force this year. So some of the key amendments we see gives the Minister of Employment and Labour the power to identify economic sectors, determine numerical targets for demographic representativity in the workplaces of employers who are considered designated employers in these economic sectors. There were draft regulations published in May 2023, and these have actually been subject of a lot of controversy and legal challenge. And now we see, with effect on 1 February 2024, the minister republished the draft regulations dealing with these proposed sector targets. So he's offered the public a period of 90 days to comment on the draft. So the 2nd of May 2024 will be the last day to comment. We do expect that these amendments will be enforced in the latter part of 2024. And employers, particularly those who are considered designated employers, in terms of our Employment Equity Act, will need to ensure that they take proactive steps, you know, to comply with these amended provisions of the Employment Equity Act. Another interesting space is we've seen some changes in incapacity management. So there have been amendments to our Compensation for Occupational Injuries and Diseases Act. It was passed into law, and they are expected to come into force on a date to be determined by our president. So among these amendments include the introduction of facilities, services, and benefits aimed at rehabilitating employees who are suffering from occupational injuries or diseases, and to facilitate, you know, their return to work and to help reduce the impact of their disability in the workplace. So these regulations were published for comment in June 2023, and once in effect, they will place additional obligations on employers in the health and safety space, and employers will need to adapt their policies and procedures to align with these amendments. Another very, very interesting legal development in 2023 is the introduction of statutory remuneration disclosure requirements. So these long-awaited amendments to our Companies Act have been introduced into Parliament. Among the key amendments propose that public and state-owned companies be required to prepare a remuneration report. And in this remuneration report, there has to be a number of things. So a remuneration policy, there has to be an implementation report. And in this report, details on remuneration and benefits paid to all directors and prescribed officers must be included, as well as remuneration details of the highest and lowest paid employees, as well as the average median remuneration of all employees. There also, interestingly, needs to be an indication of the pay gap between the top 5% paid and the bottom 5% lowest paid employees. So we also anticipate these amendments to be promulgated by mid-2024.
Sounds like there has been a lot of legislative developments happening in 2023. Sean, anything coming out of the courts that is particularly noteworthy for employers?
Another exciting development is a new approach to parenting leave or parental leave. So in 2018, South Africa welcomed initial amendments to our law on leave for parents or prospective parents. We previously only had maternity leave that was formally recognized, but then our law was amended and finally introduced leave for adoptive parents and commissioning parents who, you know, conceived through a surrogate mother. This was a huge step for South Africa. Now we see in 2023 that our judiciary is taking this a step further. In a groundbreaking judgment in October 2023, our High Court declared certain provisions of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act in relation to maternity, adoption, and commissioning parental leave provisions as unconstitutional. So this is an interesting space because, you know, we see a new approach to parenting leave on the horizon. The judge ultimately found that the provisions that unfairly discriminate between mothers and fathers and between one set of parents and another on the basis of whether their children were born from a mother or conceived by surrogacy or if they were adopted. So essentially, they want to make the entitlements uniform. Currently, mothers are entitled to 4 months maternity leave and adoptive parents only 10 weeks or 10 days, also 10 weeks for commissioning parents. So they want to make this consistent and allow all parents to have and enjoy the 4 months parental leave. So this declaration of invalidity, it's suspended for 2 years to allow Parliament to cure these defects. In the interim, the court did say that we should read in amendments to allow parents of whichever stripe to, you know, enjoy the 4 months parental leave. But this still needs to be confirmed by our constitutional court before it has force and effect. And we anticipate our constitutional court to hear this in about the third quarter of 2024. So in the meantime, there aren't any immediate changes in the legal position, but it will definitely change the way employees think about parental leave and traditional caregiving roles. And employers will need to stay on top of this as they will likely need to adapt their policies accordingly.
Thanks, Sean. That last one is super interesting, and I'm definitely looking forward to that constitutional court hearing. Now, looking forward to this year, one of the big events on the calendar is our elections that are coming up in South Africa. Have you got any thoughts or comments on that?
Yeah, so it's our general election year. We'll be electing a new National Assembly as well as a provincial legislature in each province. What's also new and interesting is that online overseas voter registration is now available for the 2024 election. This means that South Africans who live overseas can register online to vote, whereas previously they would need to visit a South African diplomatic mission, which is often far away and quite expensive to access. So that's exciting. And actually today is our president's State of the Nation address as well, where he will deliver a speech focusing on the plans for government for the coming year, which I think is likely to have a huge impact on the decisions of voters.
Perfect. Thanks, Sean. So what are some of the anticipated workplace trends and employment law developments then on the cards for this year? You've mentioned the changes that are coming up on the employment equity front in relation to remuneration disclosure and that potential overhaul of the parenting leave entitlements. Are there any other trends or developments that employers should be looking out for this year?
Yeah, definitely. So more recently, we've just had an increase in our national minimum wage on the 2nd of Feb 2024. Our Minister of Employment and Labour published increases to the national minimum wage. So essentially with effect from the 1st of March 2024, the minimum wage will increase from R25.42 to R27.58. And this includes for our farm workers, domestic workers. So that's good to see. The minimum wage for workers employed on expanded public works program is also increased from R13.97 to R15.16. And there will be also various increases in allowances for workers on learnerships in other sectors. Some of the other emerging workplace trends that we are likely to see continuing in 2024, definitely remote working. We see a huge increase and rise in the use of this employer of record service. So I think over the past few years, and particularly in response to the pandemic, we've seen remote working become prevalent and with workforces moving either fully remotely or as part of a flexible or hybrid working model. So I think as a product of this comes into play this employer of record structure where foreign companies are seeking to engage local South African talent via employer of record. And an employer of record in a nutshell is a local entity in South Africa that acts as an intermediary to facilitate the employment relationship between the foreign company and the worker in South Africa. Of course, from an employment law perspective, there are a number of consequences and there are pros and cons to the structure. Most notably, though, you know, employer records would be classified as what we would call a temporary employment service in South Africa, also known as labor brokers. And the use of such service providers are actually really highly regulated in South Africa, particularly for your more vulnerable workers who earn below the earnings threshold, which is around 240,000 rand per annum. So we definitely expect to see remote working and the use of these structures continuing in 2024. And yeah, we've received numerous instructions from clients overseas interested in these types of structures. Of course, a very relevant space is the AI revolution, something that's being spoken about, you know, consistently over the past year, and we'll see this continuing in 2024. With ChatGPT, you know, taking the world by storm in 2023, we anticipate that a lot of employers will start exploring, developing, or adopting, you know, AI-powered technology to improve their human resources processes and functions in 2024. And in this respect, I think what we expect to see development in the AI space is in respect of recruitment, performance management, task distribution, and employee monitoring. Here, it's important to note that there are various employment law and data protection issues that employers will need to bear in mind as they navigate this AI revolution and this tech space.
There's also been a lot of hype recently on the National Health Insurance Bill. Sean, could you maybe give us an update on where we are in that legislative process and what employers should be looking out for there?
Sure, Chloe. So the National Health Insurance Bill was approved by Parliament and it is awaiting signature by our president. So this bill, if it's enacted, it will have, you know, different implications for different people, organizations, and sectors. I think the most obvious implications will be for the health sector, including your medical schemes, insurers, pharmaceutical and devices producers, as well as hospitals, health professionals, and private clinics. The NHI bill will change how all national residents access health services. And this will in turn affect how employers across all sectors, you know, structure their wellness and their medical aid benefit offerings. It seems also likely that new taxes will be introduced, but the details of that are outside the bill and will still need to be explained by our tax policymakers. So I think a key takeaway for employers here is, you know, there's no active steps that need to be taken at the moment. And I think it will take some time before it is finalized. And I think it will be subject to, you know, various legal challenges, but it's just to stay up to date. And we will, of course, share information on developments as it progresses.
Thanks so much, Sean. So key takeaways for employers. What can or should they be doing right now to remain in compliance or prepare for some of these anticipated new laws and regulations that you've been discussing?
Sure. So other than subscribing and listening to the ELA, I think that employers should make sure that they stay up to date with the latest legal developments, you know, do their research and make sure that they're on top of things when these changes do come into force so that they can ensure that they are compliant. I think they can do this by keeping an eye out for our regular news flashes and webinar invites, which we post on our website and social media pages. So we're always posting things on the latest legal developments so that, you know, they can find them there. And of course, in respect of the more complex anticipated trends, such as your employer of record structures and the data protection implications of AI use, they should, of course, reach out to the Bowman's team to ensure that they are obtaining quality and sound legal advice. So that's my recommendation for employers going forward.
Well, thanks so much, Sean. This has been such an interesting discussion and especially helpful, I think, for employers in South Africa. Thank you so much for your time.
Sure, no problem, Chloe. Thanks. Thanks very much for hosting me.
If you'd like to connect with Sean, please click on her bio in the description of this podcast. We also encourage you to reach out to any of our lawyers around the world by selecting Find a Lawyer on the ELA website at ela.law. or download our app by searching Employment Law Alliance in the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Information about all our programs available in this Year in Review series and other resources are available on the event landing page at ela.law. You've been listening to the Employment Law Year in Review Regional Roundtable, a series brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labour and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm Chloe Lopesha, and thanks everyone for listening.